relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Who's the empire today, Shad?
Today? Just today?
I have a suggestion. We have video over New York of a drone telling people to keep their social distance. You won't believe this video. It is... Could you imagine if George Orwell had known about drones? So, not a bad choice of music for those who are watching on YouTube. It was the Imperial March from John Williams' Star Wars. That's not the video I want to show, Eric. You're jumping the gun. You're being too good at your job. Stop it right now. Welcome, friends. I want to show another video before we get to the drone. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald Trump. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. John, Heather, Teresa, Kenny, Heather. Two Heathers. I don't know. We never had two Heathers. Don't go anywhere. But first, there is good news. Good news. Even from Governor Cuomo. But first, from our buddies at ABC 7 WJLA, we have a video interview with a Dr. Anthony Cardillo about hydroxychloroquine. Remember what the president spoke of? He actually retweeted me yesterday. When you wake up and you say, oh, my tweet's got 35,000 likes, you go, I think the president retweeted that one. And he did, and it's about hydroxychloroquine. So let's listen to Dr. Anthony Cardillo from ABC 7 News. Play video.
I do want to ask you about hydroxychloroquine. The president was pushing it pretty strong again yesterday. You said you have prescribed this. I want to talk to you about the effects you're seeing and what it might do for people who take it normally outside of coronavirus and a possible shortage of medicine for them.
Exactly. What we're finding clinically with our patients is that it really only works in conjunction with zinc. So the hydroxychloroquine opens a zinc channel, zinc goes into the cell, it then blocks the replication of the cellular machinery. So it has to be used in conjunction with zinc. We are seeing some clinical responses in that regard. There are people that take it regularly for other disease processes. We have to be cautious and mindful that we don't prescribe it for patients who have COVID that are well. It really should be reserved for people that are really sick in the hospital or at home very sick that need that medication. Otherwise, we're going to blow through our supply for the patients that take it regularly for other disease processes.
But what you're saying is you're prescribing it and it is working for COVID-19 patients.
Every patient I've prescribed it to has been very, very ill. And within 8 to 12 hours, they were basically symptom-free. And so clinically, wow, I am seeing a resolution that mirrors what we saw in the French study and some of the other studies worldwide. But what I am seeing is that people are taking it alone by itself. It's not having efficacy.
That's Dr. Anthony Cardillo. He is an emergency room surgeon. He was on ABC 7 News saying, every patient I have given hydroxychloroquine to with zinc within 8 to 12 hours has lost the symptoms of coronavirus. Oh, the left is going to hate you, Dr. Cardillo. Mr. G, what is the thing? I don't usually get sick, but it's been a weird, weird year. When the first time I got a little bit, you know, sniffly, what did the other Dr. G say to me?
Yeah, the real Dr. G. I told you. I said, you need to take some zinc.
And it was funny because I didn't think, you know, Mr. G is going to be my health advisor, but you were so adamant. You swear by this stuff, don't you?
I've been taking it for a couple of years with colds, and either I won't get the cold, but like what they're saying here, it'll last about a half a day versus 3 or 4 days.
Right. Well, you convinced me. I bought a big bottle of zinc as soon as Mr. G told me last year, and we're going to get him back in studio. My personal doctor, Dr. Pappas, will explain to you. You heard it in a nutshell there from that good doctor on ABC 7. Why this works? The zinc has a capacity with the hydroxychloroquine to create a situation where the virus cannot attack your system. It's just some magical medical thing. But he'll explain it to us here on America First. So the president was right again. He has a knack, doesn't he, of saying things that the conventional wisdom says, oh, no, sorry, that's totally wrong. Why are you saying that? And a couple of weeks, a couple of months later, he's proven right. Remember when he said, I was wiretapped? And they laughed at him. Oh, yeah. And what did we find out? Yes, indeed. The Obama administration's goons spied on us in the campaign and in the White House. Whether it's illegal surveillance with illegal FISA warrants or whether it's the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine against coronavirus, the president is always proven right. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to which Heather? We've got two Heathers. Let's go to the one who's been waiting the longest, because that's only the fair thing. Line 5, Heather, Arizona. Welcome to America First.
Hey, Dr. Gorka, can you hear me?
I can. Welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I absolutely adore your program, and I adore our president. He's amazing, and he speaks for millions of us who can't have our voices heard. And I hope that he hears this loud and clear, because I do work for a small business, and I'm fortunate that I can keep working as a quote-unquote essential worker. But what's scary to me is that
you don't have to go into details. What line of business are you in, Heather?
It's actually construction-related.
Okay. Carry on.
So, fortunately, we're still going strong, but the issue that I had is I had my elective surgery canceled. And this is not an elective surgery that, for all intents and purposes, would be beneficial in you know, making sure that I'm here on this planet a lot longer. But there are people out there who've had their surgeries canceled that are not getting medical care, and it's all because of the fear of COVID-19 and the hospitals are on lockdown.
Yeah.
And the concern that I have is what happens to these people that have lost their jobs, they've lost their health insurance, and get this, they can't go back and get treatment. What happens to those people? The unintended consequences of this is beyond the magnitude.
They are huge.
The media are. Yeah.
No, the unintended consequences.
They're playing politics.
No, they are. And they have from the beginning, whether it's the president's declarations on hydroxychloroquine, whether it's trying to create the impression that there's some massive wedge of disagreement between Dr. Fauci and the president. It is always politics, politics, politics. And we have some incredible video of what is going on in the press briefings that most channels are not showing. We'll show this to you later, Heather. Thank you for the good work that you do and for the fact that you are spreading the word about our show. Please stay on the line, Heather. Let's give Heather a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. God bless you. Let's go to the other Heather. A little bit closer, a little bit closer. Virginia Beach, line 2. Welcome, Heather.
Hi, Dr. Gorka. How are you?
Good, good.
Good. I wanted to bring up something that I believe the only person that I have heard discuss this is Rush Limbaugh, and he kind of mentioned it in passing. Our wonderful blackface governor has.
You mean the butcher of Richmond, Ralph Northam?
That's it. That's the guy. So he came out and did something. Before I did some investigating, he did something interesting, and he said, "Everybody, stay put. Stay in your house until June 10th." And I have not heard a date like that from anybody else. June 10th is so far down the line. Who knows where we're going to be with this at that point?
Well, there could be a reason, right, Heather?
There could very well be a reason. It just so happens that our Republican primary is on June 9th.
Yes,
and I have not heard anybody else talk about this.
So that is even... so fascinating. So did you heard Rush mention this?
I did, yeah, in passing. But I feel like this is to all the things that we have heard about our governor between the abortion issue and his controversial past that for whatever reason the media doesn't want to talk about, this is another thing that he just seems to be getting away with. And I don't know how it's happening.
Look, he hasn't gotten away with it yet, and June is a long, long way away. And I think that we will be through this long before then, and people will be back at work. But yes, it is very, very suspicious why the governor of Virginia, the butcher of Richmond, the man who believes you can abort a child after it's born, says we have to stay at home till the day after the Virginia GOP primary. You know, there's only one problem with that theory. Ralph Northam is as thick as a fence post. The idea that he actually came up with that beggars belief. I'm not sure I'm buying it unless somebody suggested it to him. But we shall see, Heather. I think by then we will be free and back at work. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Next here, the president's personal attorney and senior advisor to the Trump 2020 campaign, a woman who's on a warpath, and the New York Times doesn't like it. Jenna Ellis with me, Sebastian Gorka, on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Don't touch that dial.
America first. Magnificent.
What happens when you take Dennis Prager, I call him my personal rabbi, and a comedian with the most popular podcast in the world called Adam Carolla, and team them up to create a film called No Safe Spaces? You get a film with a 99% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and a film that I've seen and you should see too. You can get 25% off streaming and downloading, and even order the DVD of this edifying film that is about what political correctness is doing to this country and what it's going to take to win. Go to nosafespaces.com, use promo code SAVE25 and educate yourself today like no other film can. Nosafespaces.com, SAVE25. One of the things I want to dedicate the next couple of hours to is the rank insanity of the media and how they will never, ever give our president a break. If you missed it, we have a clip of CBS's Weijia Jiang in the White House press briefing with the president, just behaving in ways that no journalist should ever behave on any organ. This is CBS's Weijia Jiang in the press briefing last Friday. Cut to.
Thank you. Yesterday, Jared Kushner said the notion of the federal stockpile was it's supposed to be our stockpile. It's not supposed to be state stockpiles that they then use. What did he mean by our?
Oh, what are you asking?
And I mean, even the fact that taxpayers from
what's
every
that?
State gotcha.
Pays for. I gotcha.
No, it's not gotcha.
Our, you know what our means? United States of America. That's what it means. It means
the states.
Our. It means the United States of America. And then we take that our and we distribute it to the states.
So why did not you say that we it's have not to. Supposed to be state stockpiles that they then
because
use.
We need it for the government and we need it for the federal government. But
to
when the states are in charge, no, to
then
also
you're
keep
giving it to if it's not to the states.
To keep for our country, because the federal government needs it too, not just the states. But out of that, we oftentimes choose, as an example, we have almost 10,000 ventilators, and we are ready to rock with those ventilators. We're going to bring them to various areas of the country that need them. But when he says our, he's talking about our country. He's talking about the federal government. I mean, It's such a basic, simple question, and you try and make it sound so bad. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. No, you know what? You ought to be ashamed.
It's such a simple question.
He said hour. An hour means for the country. An hour means for the states because the states are a part of the country. Don't make it sound bad. Don't make it sound bad. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, back here. You just asked your question. You just asked your question in a very nasty tone. Let's go.
You didn't give me an answer.
Please.
Mr. President,
I gave you a perfect answer. You know it. Go ahead.
Well, just to follow up on that, when we have the...
Just incredible. That was CBS's Wei Jiajiang, who thinks that our is a gotcha and it doesn't refer to our nation's resources. Somebody else who's been a very, very busy woman lately and exactly on this topic is a friend of the show. You know her as senior legal advisor to the Trump 2020 campaign and attorney to President Trump. She's constitutional law attorney Jenna Ellis. Follow her on Twitter at Jenna Ellis Esquire. Jenna, welcome back to America First.
Thank you so much for having me. And I wish that we could be there in person. But I do too.
So do our viewers. So do our listeners. But we will get through this and you will be back in studio. In the meantime, you've been very busy. You've written a piece for The Federalist. We'll discuss in the next segment. But you've written something for our friend Sarah Carter's website about the New York Times that goes to the heart of that clip we just played. Explain to us what you've been up to, Jenna.
Yes. Well, this headline, of course, says that the New York Times critique of President Trump is bat blank crazy. And that's absolutely true. And that's actually for all of the media right now that is just trying to do this gotcha junk on President Trump. I mean, they have an opportunity here in the midst of a national emergency where Americans are scared. We want to know what's going on. And you have the president daily coming out, giving answers, giving the latest updated information. We're learning about this virus as we go because, of course, China lied and didn't provide much information or notice. But President Trump has been absolutely making the best decisions he can for us every step of the way. And all the media cares about is hating him. And so they are asking the most ridiculous and absurd questions, like yesterday in the press briefing when some idiot reporter asked him, well, why aren't you shutting grocery stores down if the virus is so contagious? I mean, I tweeted after that, you know what his next question is going to be? Well, because this virus is spread through breathing, why don't you recommend, President Trump, that Americans just stop breathing? Why don't we
Don't give them ideas, Jenna. Do not, because we will see the headlines. Stop breathing. The president is allowing us to breathe. Why is he doing that? People are dying. You know it'll happen.
Of course. This is how ridiculous this is. And so the New York Times, of course, the failing New York Times, because they are the Titanic of fake news. They can't possibly even go any lower into
whining
yellow journalism.
Hang on. Stop. I have to read this. that phrase you just used was fabulous. And it's the opening of her article. This is at sarahacarter.com. This is our friend Jenna Ellis's new article. If we thought they couldn't sink any lower, the New York Times is the Titanic of fake news embarrassment, and they sunk further into the murky depths of slimy yellow journalism by publishing a hate-filled anti-Trump hit piece. That is a lovely description of exactly what they are. Does it surprise you that there is no situation, not even a national emergency with 10,000 dead, that doesn't actually make them stop in their political activism, Jenna Ellis?
You would think. And, you know, we've been saying, Seb, for a long time, President Trump could literally cure cancer and the media would have a problem with it. And here we are in the midst of a national health emergency, and they can't stop their Trump derangement syndrome long enough to actually care about the future of this country, the long-term impact to Americans and what's actually going on. And, you know, my friend and your friend, Bert Hume, on Fox News actually put out a really smart tweet the other day where he said, you know, the media keeps saying it's our responsibility and it's our job to speak truth to power, to hold the government responsible. No, that's our job as the voter. What the journalist's job
I saw that.
Is to report the facts and right. The truth, and they are not doing that.
No, Britt has a very, very, very understated but powerful Twitter game, and it goes to what they always say, we're here to keep the politicians accountable, No, you're not. That's not the job of journalists. That's the job of voters. That's the job of the American people. The only function you have as a journalist is to report the news. But doesn't that seem like ancient history when journalists actually reported the news, Jenna?
It does. And, you know, I mean, I have my bachelor's degree in journalism. I went through, you know, the ethics classes and all of these things, talking about what a great responsibility it was to be the record keepers of history. And, you know, we've gone so far beyond that where journalists are truly the opposition of President Trump specifically and of the Republican Party. That's not what journalism is called.
I didn't know she went to J school. But I guess we'll let her back for another segment. She's Jenna Ellis, the president's attorney and senior legal advisor for the Trump 2020 campaign. Follow her right now at Jenna Ellis Esquire. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't touch that dial. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Job Creators Network.
We may have models, but we've been sort of saying that. In New York, we were saying we think you're going to need less. Now, let's hope that continues. But right now, I heard Governor Cuomo this morning, and he was saying less hospital beds, also less death. That was a very big thing. First time, less death today than yesterday, right? That's a big thing. But also less hospital beds. That means less patients, because basically it's less patients. And we were saying that. And it also means less ventilators. So there's a lot of not a very positive things happening.
Less deaths in the epicenter, the hot zone, not only for America, but the world. That is great, great news. There is light at the end of the tunnel. We are back with our good friend, guest of the show, Jenna Ellis, senior legal advisor to the Trump 2020 campaign. An attorney to President Trump. Jenna, you've been so busy. You've written another article, this time for our friends at the Incredible Federalist. This is an issue that really is perhaps one of the most disturbing for me. As a person who, you know, watched the Palm Sunday services on my phone because I couldn't go to church, talk to us about how we arrived at a point in history for the first time in maybe centuries for some communities that they haven't been able to go to church during Lent. But the Democrats want us to perform abortions. Can you explain the constitutional issues here?
Right. And, you know, this is a really important thing for all Americans to recognize that we have a constitution. We still have a rule of law in this country. And an emergency doesn't actually supersede that. In fact, our constitution provides the principles of government and the limited power to the government on the federal and the state and local level for instances exactly like this. And so this isn't totally uncharted territory. We have limited powers that we've given to the federal government to provide for these particular circumstances. So when we have a compelling state interest, like what we have here, a national health crisis, like any compelling state interest, then the state government can put restrictions and regulations in place, but they need to be narrowly tailored by the least restrictive means. So that's the analysis, and how does that play
So that's established law, that yes. If there is a restriction on your freedoms temporarily, it has to be executed in such a way as to be as restrictive in its extent as possible.
the least restrictive as possible. Yes. So, for example, if a state were telling a church you can't even meet online, well, that doesn't advance the compelling state interest because the virus isn't transmitted like you and I are talking by phone right now. That's fine. And we could be talking to 500 people right now. That's fine. That doesn't advance their compelling interest. But the concern that I have with some of these state orders is that they are implementing them based on the state's arbitrary view of whether or not a particular service, including churches, is essential or not. So, for example, you have states that allow big grocery stores and Walmarts and Targets and other places to be open, and they're not really complying with social distancing rules. Nobody's really policing that. And then yet they're telling churches and they're telling businesses like Hobby Lobby that they have to completely shut down because your service to the community is not being
So what should we do differently? You work for the president. You're a constitutional lawyer. Should people like me and people who want to go to church, should we be involved in civil disobedience?
Not at this point, no. And that's the thing that I think is a line too far. We shouldn't just say, sorry, we're not complying. We're opening the doors of our churches. No, that's we've seen in instances that pastors are getting arrested. I mean, I think this is proving that the states need to implement the recommendations from the federal government, and it's up to the states. They need to enforce those recommendations in a way that is uniform and is consistent, and it doesn't matter what service you're providing. As long as you can comply with the regulations, you can stay open. And
so you're saying in the last few seconds we have that churches should be allowed to stay open as long as they are observing social distances. Is that am I understanding you correctly, Jenna?
Yes, and go to the Federalist and read my article for a much more thorough analysis, but it has to be from the state can't target churches and deem them non-essential and then say that other businesses and services are essential in their own arbitrary view. The law doesn't work that way, nor does the Constitution.
All right, that's fabulous, fabulous advice. We're going to post both of those articles on our Twitter feed, our Facebook page. It's the Federalist, why it's unconstitutional to keep stores open while closing churches. And then from SarahAcarter.com, Jenna Ellis says, the New York Times critique of President Trump is, I'll translate this, bat guano crazy. I'm Sebastian Gorka. She is Jenna Ellis, Esquire on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka again here on America First on the Salem Radio Network. Look, we're going to get out of this, and then it's going to be time for outdoors activities. Are you ready? Are you fit? Are you in pain? If you're not ready for the great outdoors when we are back on our feet as a nation, please let me suggest something. It's called Relief Factor, and it's worked for me. And it's worked for tens of thousands of fellow Americans. You can see their incredible stories of being liberated from their everyday pain at relieffactor.com. You could be the next success story. How do you find out? It's super simple. Go to relieffactor.com. Order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in a couple of days. Take the little packet in the morning, the little packet in the evening, and I guarantee you by the end of 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you like it works for me. I am pain-free. My lower back pain issue is gone because of Relief Factor's natural ingredients that attack the inflammation, which is the source of the pain. As the president always says, what have you got to lose? ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
Russia? Ukraine? Impeachment? What the hell was that all about?
Yes, indeed. We're still trying to work that out. John, Sam, Matt, Kenny, Alexis, don't go anywhere. We will get to your calls momentarily. But now we have a guest on the line who blew me off the last time he was going to come in the studio because he had to go and see, who was it? Oh, yeah, my old boss, the president. He is Sergeant Ed Mullins. He is, of course, the president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association, which represents 13,000 active and retired NYPD sergeants. President Mullins, Sergeant Mullins, welcome finally to America First.
Thank you for having me, Sebastian. Thank you.
You have a very solid Twitter game. Can I just say that? I always mention it when our guests have very solid Twitter games, and you do. You need to follow this guy. It is SBA, like Sergeant's Benevolent Association. So SBA NYPD on Twitter. First things first, I want to talk about, you know, how the virus and the president support and everything else and all the great things you've been saying online. But could you share with us, I'm always, having worked with the NYPD, especially the CT guys, I always have the same question with anybody who's associated with them. How is the morale inside the department right now?
Well, morale is hanging in there, but it's concerning because there's a great deal of concern for each other and taking this virus home to our families. And Commissioner Shea, who is a new commissioner at the NYPD, you know, only 3 months in, and, you know, he's dealing with a global pandemic, is doing his best to keep up morale. Morale was already beaten down in the NYPD, so this hasn't helped it at all. You know, we're over, I think it's 6,500 you know, members of the NYPD that reported sick, with somewhere in the area of 1,400 confirmed, you know, corona cases, many of which have been hospitalized. So, you know, our real concern is taking it home to our families. We just began to get the equipment in the last 10 days, you know, the face mask and the sanitizer. We did not have it in the beginning when this first hit, and that was really disturbing, especially for a city of 8 million that remains probably the number one target for terrorism in the United States. You know, to not be prepared for this, which, although it hasn't been identified as a terrorist event, the defensive mechanisms would be the same if there was a biochemical attack.
Exactly. You know, it's the all hazards approach. We are talking to Sergeant.
Right.
Ed Mullins, president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association of the NYPD, Twitter handle SBANYPD. I'd like to tease you out on an issue that I'm not a Leo, but I have seen our president's love and respect for the law enforcement community. Could you share with our listeners the things that you have tweeted out about this commander-in-chief and his relationship to your community in the NYPD?
Sure. You know, first of all, you know, I mean, I born and raised in New York City, and I've been in NYPD since 1982. President Trump has been born and raised in New York City. And, you know, I've, you know, seen over the years what he has done for law enforcement, for police families. Police officers have been killed, always one of the first to come to the aid of a family to help out, very subtly, too, without looking for recognition. So consistently, he has never forgotten the NYPD. And just about a week ago, less than a week ago, one of the chiefs of this department had reached out to the White House explaining that we did not have the equipment. And within 24 hours, he had a plane sent to New York to take care of the cops.
Within 24 hours?
Yes. It came immediately, face mask, sanitizer, you know, gloves, the things that we needed. But, you know, that's just not New York cops. I mean, the president, when I talk to other police groups around the country, he always is there for law enforcement, and they're telling me how he, you know, reaches out to them, and that he's very supportive of law enforcement. You know, the people that see that now on TV look, and they probably see a commander-in-chief that supports the military and supports law enforcement, but I'm telling you, as a lifelong New Yorker, he was always that way. He truly believes it, and, you know,
It's not a put-on. It's not fake. It's absolutely genuine. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it on closed Army bases, Air Force bases. The president's arrived. There are outright riders from the local police department, and he always takes time to show his appreciation. No press, no nothing. He just wants them to understand how much he respects them. We're talking to the president of the NYPD Sergeants Benevolent Association, Sergeant Ed Mullins. In the last minute and a half we have with you, and it's great to have you on the show. I hope you'll be a regular guest. What is your message? We broadcast across the country from L.A. to New York. What is your message to your brethren in the NYPD? But more specifically, what is your message to the people of New York at this time when it comes to the law enforcement community?
I think everyone should realize that we live in the greatest nation on earth, it's the United States of America, and no way in the world will we be defeated. But we remain the greatest nation on earth when everyone works together. And if we continue to keep our distance and follow the direction, we will defeat this virus. We have some of the greatest minds in this country working on, a cure and all kinds of medicine that could deal with this. But we need to be together to do that. And the only way this works for the United States to go back to where it was, to get our economy back to where it was and get people safe, is if we listen to the direction from above, we follow that direction, stick together, and we will return to where we used to be.
A very simple message, a very powerful message, and it's one we should all heed because, as the good sergeant said, it looks like we are turning the corner, which means we can get back as soon as possible to once again being the greatest nation on God's earth with the greatest economy and the greatest military and the greatest law enforcement community. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Back to your calls next on America First. John, Sam, Kenny, Alexis, don't go anywhere. This is America First, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. I personally am so grateful to the father and son team behind this product, Pete and Seth Talbot, who started on this mission because they wanted to help a family member in great pain, and they succeeded. And now tens of thousands of you are getting daily relief from this natural drug-free product, me included. If you suffer from daily pain, if just normal activity, walking downstairs, a round of golf, or just walking outside with your loved ones is painful, try a new solution. If nothing else has worked, if you regret those synthetic painkillers that don't fix anything, they just mask the pain, try a product that actually attacks the source of the pain, which is Relief Factor. I am now 16 months pain-free from a lower back condition because of this incredible product. You can find out if it works for you by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack that'll be at your door in a matter of days, $19.95, less than a dollar a day. And I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take Relief Factor morning and evening for 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me every single day. You deserve it. You deserve to be the next success story. Give it a try. Do it now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with your calls, 833-334-6752, here on America First.
Portions of America First are sponsored by Moral Compass LLC's No Safe Spaces movie.
We want to hear your story of how you've been affected by the coronavirus. If you are the owner of a small business, if you work for a small business, Job Creators Network wants to know your story of how the shutdown has affected you. Please go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com now to share your tale. jobcreatorsnetwork.com. Thank you. A lot of you have been waiting a long, long time. I'm going to break the rules. I'm going to take calls at the top of the next hour. So if I don't get to you now, don't drop the call because we've got some very, very good calls out there. Let's go to Sam in California, line 2. Welcome, Sam, to America First.
Hi, doctor.
Hey.
What I would suggest for President Trump is that his next briefing, you start out the briefing by letting him
Are you on a speakerphone, Sam?
No, on my Bluetooth.
Okay. Carry on.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, what he should start out the briefing with is to let the networks know that are cutting away that
yes.
He will not call on their reporters until they cut away. So here's your choice. You want your question answered?
Genius!
What?
Sam,
what
I out? Love it. I love it.
Cut it out right then. Doctor, also on a serious note, another question for you.
Yes.
I'm not a conspiracy person. I don't necessarily think the Chinese started out to destroy us, you know, this way with the virus. Do you think it's possible that once it started, they went, hey, this can work in our favor?
Oh, totally. Oh, and let's be clear here. Let's be clear. They want to destroy us, and they've wanted to destroy us since they became a communist country. But the idea that they generated a biological agent on purpose that killed thousands of their own citizens and then they lost control of, I need to see the evidence. I need to see the evidence. But the idea that they're exploiting however this virus was generated for their own geostrategic profit is without question. The propaganda they've been peddling, they're trying to blame America for it, the lies of, oh, we have no more people getting sick in China. Well, oh, really? We have a fascinating audio from our friend Gordon Chang, which belies that statement. So, Sam, without a shadow of a doubt, they are using this as a political, economic, financial, diplomatic, and intelligence weapon now that the cat is out of the bag. However, it got out of the bag. It is now being weaponized. Great call, Sam. Sam, do you have my book, The War for America's Soul?
No, I don't, sir.
Well, you do now. Stay on the line.
Oh,
then.
Yes.
Mr. G, we'll get your address, and we'll get you a dedicated copy. The best callers. I think that's the best way to understand it. You don't need a tinfoil hat. Save the tinfoil for, you know, your hot dogs. China is using this. However it started, it is using it as a weapon. Why? Because they know strategy. They wrote the book, The Art of War. I'm Sebastian Gorka, back with your calls, John, Bob, Kenny, Alexis, and then more guests than you can shake a stick at, and your calls here on America First on the Salem Radio Network from the ReliefFactor.com studios.